Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you this morning. It's a beautiful springtime morning, and in some respect, our message this morning will reflect that, the idea of new birth and spring, and the idea of getting back really to the basics of our faith and the qualities that make us a Christian. We'll be studying this week, and hopefully for the next couple weeks, under the book of Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians. And I'd like to start this morning with a very simple question. What are the fundamentals of our faith? If you had to say the qualities that make us a Christian, what would you say? For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the resurrection of Jesus and how important that is to what we believe. And that definitely is of first importance, of the resurrection. You could think about baptism. You could think about Bible study. You could think about Sunday morning worship. Often we describe somebody, well, they go to church every Sunday. And as almost like a mark of being a good Christian, somebody that goes to church every Sunday morning. These are all aspects of our faith. We could go on and talk about the day of judgment as part of our beliefs. And these are the things that we believe. But they're not really the qualities fundamental to our lives. And that's really what I'd like to talk with you about for the next few minutes, is those fundamental qualities that we're to possess as Christians and that we're to work on as Christians. This time of year is the time of year spring training. Baseball spring training just ended a few days ago, really. They started playing baseball for real about a week or so ago. And if you go to spring training, most times we get out to a spring training game. This year we didn't. But you go, you see these ball players, a lot of them guys you see on TV and been playing ball for upteen years. When they go to spring training, they don't learn how to play baseball. Most of them know how to play baseball. They wouldn't be there even. But they practice and they keep up on how they play. In other words, if they don't practice, they get rusty pretty quick. Next week, if you watch the Masters on TV, it's a beautiful event just to watch the golf, the Masters, because of the beauty of that golf course. If you ever want to see flowers and somebody that can grow flowers. In our Sunday school class, he talked about how poor he was at growing flowers. You watch the Masters and you see beautiful flowers. And you play golf. I get to play golf about once a year. And every time I go out and play, I'm pretty rusty because I don't practice. Anything that you can know how to do something really well, but if you don't practice it, you pretty quickly get rusty at doing it. And the same thing is true with our spiritual beings. We see that in ball players. That's why they have spring training in baseball, and spring training is ongoing right now in football. Billy Donovan, a few weeks back during, the March Madness, all the basketball on TV, there was a commercial. Billy Donovan's the coach of the Florida basketball team. And in this commercial, he talks about how important the fundamentals of basketball. And they teach them over and over so that they're second nature. The players don't have to think about them. They know them because it's so ingrained in them. And we see this in athletes. And we recognize it in athletes. That physically, if we don't practice something, we get rusty pretty quick. This morning, in looking at 1 Thessalonians, we're going to take a look at our spiritual. Because our spiritual beings are the same way. If we don't practice the things of the Spirit, we get rusty pretty quick. And we need to be putting these qualities in our lives. And it's easy to see physically. You go out this time of year, sometimes you go out and do gardening that you haven't done for months. And the next day, most of us, we're pretty sore. Because there's a lot of muscles that we didn't use, that we got out of shape. We need to make sure we spiritually, we do these things all the time so that we don't get out of shape physically, spiritually. We keep our spiritual being the way it should be. And so we look at these qualities. If you look over to Philippians, we just a few weeks back ended a series on Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me. It's a safeguard for you." To write the same things. In other words, Paul is saying, I told you this stuff before. You know this stuff, but I'm going to tell you again. Why? Because it's a safeguard for you. It protects you. We have to be reminding ourselves of these things all the time. Look over to 2 Peter. And Peter gives us a list of the qualities that we're to have as Christians. And notice what this list is that Peter gives to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, Peter writes, "For this very reason, make every effort," in other words, this is going to be a little bit of work on our part, "to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control steadfastness or faithfulness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection love. For if these qualities are yours in increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. For whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted, and he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend to always remind you of these qualities, though I know that you know them and are established in the truth that you have." Now notice what Peter says. I know you know these things, but I'm going to remind you of them, and I want you to practice these. Why? So you don't become spiritually rusty. So you keep these things before you. And that's what Paul does in this book of Thessalonians. He reminds the Thessalonians of their very basic qualities as Christians. If you go through the New Testament, sometimes we forget about when books were written. 1 Thessalonians 1 is the very first books written in the New Testament. Sometimes we pick up the New Testament, we have, of course, Matthew's the first gospel, and we think, well, Matthew's the first book. It comes first. Most scholars think Mark was probably the first gospel written, and then Matthew and Luke, and then later on John. You get into the epistles of Paul, as we're in now, and you first have Romans and 1st, 2nd Corinthians, but they weren't the first books Paul wrote. They were the longest books, and the books are put in the order of their length. 1 Thessalonians, we believe, was probably the first letter Paul wrote, if it wasn't the first in Galatians. Both of these were the two first books, 1 Thessalonians and Galatians. And they were written roughly 20 years after Jesus. They were a very young church. The church at Thessalonica we read about in Acts chapter 17. And if you go through Paul's missionary journeys, he does his first missionary journey right around Tarsus where he grew up. His second missionary journey, he goes from Asia, or what we call Asia Minor or Turkey, and he goes over into Greece. Now, Greece has two parts to it. Northern Greece, which is called Macedonia, and Southern Greece, which is called Achaia. And so that is Greece. And Paul goes into Philippi, which was on the coast, as he goes into Greece. And if you go through Acts, he starts a church there in Philippi with Lydia, if you go through that story. But the Jews in Philippi run him out of town after just a short period, and he goes over to Thessalonica. Now, Thessalonica is the capital of Macedonia. It's right in the very middle, and it's still one of the major cities there today. And he goes to the synagogue, as was his custom, and he teaches in the synagogue for about 3 weeks. And a lot of the Jews and a lot of the Greeks that believed in God came to a knowledge of Christ. And the Jews there became very jealous, and so they run him out of town. So he was only in Thessalonica for a short period of time, something between maybe 1 and 2 or 3 months, no longer than 3 months and no less than 1 month. So he wasn't there very long. And he was forced to leave Thessalonica. When he leaves, he's worried about those Christians that he left behind, because he knows that the Jews there, and the Jews had raised up even the Gentiles in the city to run him out of town. So he knows there's going to be opposition. And you read about the affliction and the opposition that the church there had. And so he's forced to leave, and he goes down to Berea, to Athens, and finally to Corinth. But he's worried all this time about that church that he left back there. He left Thessalonica after only a month or two. And so he sends Timothy back to Thessalonica to see how things are going. And this book is written when Timothy comes back to Paul and tells him, "Paul, everything's going good up there. Those Christians that you left up there in Thessalonica are a strong church." And that's what we read about in this short little book of 1 Thessalonians, is that this is a strong church, even after only a few months of Paul's teaching. This book is written probably maybe 6 months or a year after that church started. So it's a young church. It's a church that we wouldn't say has traditions or any of the things that we have. Many of them were Greeks that came to a knowledge, so it's not like they have a lot of knowledge even to build upon. And yet they were a firm church. And notice how he starts this letter and the qualities of their Christianity that he brings out. He says, I give thanks to God for all of you. Constantly mention you in our prayers, remembering before God our Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. So those are the qualities that we're to have. What are the basis of Christianity? Faith, hope, and love. You read these through in 2 Peter that we just read about. And that's what Paul starts his letter with. And look at what he says about faith. He says, your faith that produces works. That goes exactly what James says. James says, you say you have faith? Well, look at my faith. I'll show you my faith by how I live, by my works. And that's what Paul says. Your faith that produces works. In other words, of the living faith. He says, your labor that prompts, your love that prompts labor. What is love? Love is that idea of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If we love, then we give. And the give means that sacrifice on our part. And he said, Paul says, that's the kind of love that you have. You have that kind of love that you're willing to give to others. And hope. Hope is how we stand. It gives us that firm foundation to endure the things of this world. That hope gives us steadfastness. And Paul says, you have these. But his message doesn't end there. He then gives the idea of being a model or imitating. How important is being an example of faith today? We talk about living a Christian life. How important is the example that we set today? That's one of the ideas that Paul has in chapters 1 and 2 of Thessalonians, is that idea that we set a good example and how important it is that we set a good example. Sometimes I think we're sort of shy and we're scared to call attention to the lives that we live to set that example. But we set an example and we should have influence on those around us whether or not we think about it or not. Either it's an influence for good or an influence for bad. And we need to think about the influence we have and to think about our lives. When you look at your life, if someone had come up to you and say, what does it mean to be a Christian? Could you tell that person, well, model your life after mine and you'll be a good Christian? Would you feel confident saying that? That all the person has to do is live like you live and they're going to be a good Christian? Some of us, I think, we'd be hesitant to do that, wouldn't we? We'd be a little afraid. Well, I can tell you what it means, but don't do everything I do. You know, we sort of hesitate to say that you could imitate my life. And if you imitate my life, you're going to be a good Christian. That's what Paul says here. He says, you imitated me and you became strong in the faith. We need to make sure our lives reflect what we say they reflect. And so when someone says, if you imitate me, we need to think about what's the influence that we have. If you look over to 1 Corinthians, there's a little chapter there that we sometimes talk about in the negative side of this, but it's also important for the positive too. Look over to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, as we looked at a few weeks back, Paul talks about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. And if Jesus did not arise, then really what we're doing is just kind of going through the motions and we ought to just not worry about it and just live for ourselves. And that's what he says. Look at beginning in verse 32. He says, what if I fought beasts at Ephesus? In other words, I put up with a lot of bad things to teach in Ephesus if the dead are not raised. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. What are you saying, eat, drink, and be merry? He's saying if Jesus didn't arise, then it really doesn't matter what you do. You might as well just go out and have a good time. But then he goes into the idea that if you do that, you're going to influence those around you. Good moral, bad company corrupts good morals. In other words, whoever you hang out with, they have an influence on you. If you go through the Sermon on the Mount that we've been studying in our Sunday school just recently, we're the salt of the earth. We're to have that preservative effect to those around us. We're to be a light to the world. We're to show people the truth. What Paul says and what Jesus says, you're going to influence the people around you one way or the other. Either it's going to be for good or it's going to be for bad. You're going to be an example for those around you. And your life is going to influence those around you. And what we need to think about, how do we influence those around us? Is it an influence for good, or is it an influence for bad? Are we being a model to those around us? Look again what Paul says to this church. And remember, this is a young church. This is a church that's been there for 20 or 30 years and been brought up in the Lord. This is a church that came to the Lord months before this was written. And listen what Paul says again in verse 6. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction and the joy of the Holy Spirit. And so you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need to say nothing more. For you, they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They became a model for all the other Christians and the other churches, not just there in Thessalonica, but in Arcadia, Macedonia. In other words, to the whole country of Greece, you become an example. Now you think about that. Do you think people look for us as an example? Or is our church here an example to all those who are not just in the Space Coast, but throughout Florida? That's the way Thessalonica was. And notice that this church faced a lot of persecution. Things weren't necessarily easy for this church. Paul had been run out of town because he preached the gospel. And those that were left there faced affliction from their own brothers and sisters or their own society there. And yet they became a model for all those who were there. And Paul uses the word, you were chosen by God. Do you think about that for you and I, that we're chosen by God? What does it mean to be chosen by God? Well, Paul says what it means. He says, I know you were chosen of God because of the way that you received the gospel. That you received it with conviction. It meant something to you. These things were alive for you. And that you turned from idols. In other words, you turned away from the things of this world and turned to service of God. Christianity is not just coming together on Sunday morning. It's how we live. And it's putting these qualities, faith, hope, and love into our lives so that we can live a life as an example. What does it mean to live an example life if that doesn't mean all the time, not just on Sunday morning, but it means the way that we live. It means putting these things into practice so that we gain these qualities. As Peter says in 2 Peter, it's almost like taking steps up a ladder, that you grow in the Lord. And your faith grows. And as your faith grows, your love grows. And these things are seen in your life so that you become a model. That's what he talks about in this church at Thessalonica. And that's what we need to think about in our lives. We need to think about, are we putting these things into practice, as Peter says? Are you practicing the qualities of being a Christian? And that means your faith. That means your faith that prompts you to want to work for the Lord. And as Paul says, you turn to service to God. Christianity means to serve. What did Jesus say? When he talked about himself, he says, I came to serve, not to be served, and give myself as a ransom for many. Christianity means that idea of serving each other. What's the mark of a Christian? Whether or not we go to church on Sunday morning, the mark of a Christian, Jesus says, they will know that you're my disciples. How? By the love that you have one for another. That we have that love one for another. That means that we're willing to give to one another. That our faith prompts us to work and serve each other. Christianity is all about serving and loving one another. Those are the qualities that we're to have. Because those are the qualities that Jesus showed us. And Paul starts this little book of Thessalonians talking about the qualities of being a Christian. Make sure we have a faith that prompts our work. We have a love that moves us. Not just that sits there still, but moves us and makes us who we are, that we have these qualities. This morning, think about your life and putting into practice. Don't get rusty spiritually. Why do we come to Bible class? Why do we study the Bible? People say, well, I've read all that before. I've heard that class before. But we practice these things. to put them into our lives every day. And if we don't practice them every day, just like any other sport, and physically we get rusty. So we need to be about our Christianity. Are we actively seeking the qualities of faith, hope, and love? Are we developing these in our lives? Are we making these a part of our daily lives? Are we living our lives an example to others? If somebody came up and modeled their life after you, would you be proud of that? Paul was proud that they were imitators of him. Throughout his writings, he says, copy my life, be an imitator of me as I am of Christ. We need to have that attitude, that if somebody copies our life, that's a good thing, not a bad thing, and that will lead them to the Lord. We need to think about the Thessalonians and the faith that they had. Here was this young church. It had just gotten started, and yet it was a model to all of those in the area. Think about your faith, your hope, and your love this week. And think about putting into practice the things that it means to be a Christian. This morning, if you've not started that walk, if you haven't put faith and hope and love into your life, why not be baptized into Christ? Uniting yourself with Him. And just as He was buried, you too will be buried so that you can die to this world. Paul says, you repented, you turned away from idols. That's the idea of baptism, that you die to this world to rise a new creature, to walk a new life, a new faith, a new hope, a hope that's a living hope, so that you can walk with your Lord through all eternity. Or if you started that walk, but you really haven't been diligent in it, you haven't been faithful, why not come back to your Lord today? If you need to come in any way, won't you come? Together we stand and sing.